Well, good morning, everyone. So I don't have to tell you all what happened. This mark on my head is not from Marjorie. I was over helping my son clean up his yard and all that sort of stuff, and I walked into the branch of a tree. So that's what happened. That's true, by the way. Yeah. Oh, Heavenly Father, as we come together this morning, we look at your word and we pray that from it you may speak to us, challenge us, encourage us, help us to think again where we stand in relationship to you. Father, we give this time to you and pray that you might speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me begin by asking a question. What do you think is the one thing that God wants people to do? Now, you don't have to answer it, but what is the one thing that you think God wants people to do? Of course, we could say there are a number of things. He wants us to love him. He wants us to experience his forgiveness. But for me, I think the one thing that God wants people to do is to repent. In the old days, they tell me that fire and brimstone were preached from the pulpit, and they'd be banging and crashing and all kinds of things that encouraging people to repent. Because he wants us to be aware of who we are, and more to the point, who he is. He is a holy God, and we are a fallen creation. He wants us to change our ways, to return to the one who created us, the one who died for us, the one who rose from the dead for us, the one who wants to give us life, life in all of its fullness. When John the Baptist commenced his ministry, and people were coming to him to be baptized, his message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Matthew 3 verse 2. And then of course when Jesus comes and commences his ministry, like John, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2. Chapter 4 and verse 17. And when Peter preached the first Christian sermon at Pentecost, those who stood before him after they had heard what he had preached said, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And this call of repentance is one of the constant calls that the Old Testament prophets have, calling God's people to repent as a nation and to repent as individuals. God wants to have a relationship with his people. But if they turn away from him, then that relationship cannot take place. Be it a nation, or be it an individual. What is it that brings about that broken relationship between God and those created in his image? Of course, no prizes for the answer. We know that it's sin. And sin is when we put ourselves or someone else or something else in the place of God. It's when our focus shifts from the Lord. The prophet Joel is wanting to bring the people of Israel, back to worship and to trust in God. Joel was probably involved with temple worship, and he wants people to come back and worship him. But Joel makes it clear that to have an outward pretense of a relationship with God, by putting on a show so that others might see, that that's not acceptable to God. This call of Joel for the people of Israel is one that applies to us as a church today. In fact, our reading from Joel for today is part of the reading that is read, or can be read, on Ash Wednesday. It's supposed to challenge us to repent, to challenge us to return to God. And I guess it's a call to the nation as well as to us as individuals. Now, it's easy for people to claim to be Christian, to attend worship in a building such as we're in this morning, but to do it without a real conviction towards God, to who He is and to what He's done for us. And can I suggest that as a nation, we really have moved away from God? That no way can we consider ourselves to be a Christian nation today. We probably never have been able to regard ourselves as a Christian nation, but I think when we look at the census that's been taken not all that many years ago, we see that we've even become further removed as a nation, away from a belief in God. What that means is that as individuals, there is a lack of a commitment to God. In all of our services here at Holy Trinity, there is a call for people to repent, to confess our sins. But do we? Do we really confess our sins? Or do we parrot the words that we see up on the screen or we read in the prayer book and then move on to the next hymn or whatever comes next? You know, when was the last time that you truly repented? You don't have to put your hand up, but when was the last time that you truly repented? Because as I prepared this sermon, I thought, when was the last time I truly repented? Don't think too badly of me, please. But it was something that struck me. Of course, repentance is something that shouldn't be saved up just for Sunday when we're at worship. But at least when we come to worship, we are reminded that repentance before God is essential. In Joel's day, as in the days of all the prophets of God, they saw that it was God who blessed the nation. It was God who blessed the individual. To turn from God, to trust in oneself, to worship something other than God, someone, saw disaster, drought, defeat in battle, illness. As you read through the Old Testament prophets, you see it repeated over and over and over and over again. Some of you might remember a time during the Second World War, not the First, but during the First and the Second World Wars, people filled the churches praying for peace. And even in Australia, there have been times when people have come together to pray for the drought that's existed in our country. That's fine. But at the same time, where was the repentance? But surely in this sophisticated world in which we live, to believe that in such things is out of the question. But is it? Can I suggest that when we have a meaningful relationship with God, we see things differently? We see that what we have is something that God has given us. Well, we may have worked for it, but it was God who gifted us, who skilled us as we sought to live by his laws, to acknowledge his love. We had our eyes fixed on him, believing that he would bless us. It might even be possible to say the same thing about our nation of Australia. Now there seems to be a lack of godly focus. And of course this can be seen in many Western countries and nations, that where once Christianity and an awareness of God was part of that country's culture. But now it's faded. It's been pushed into the distant background. If ever there was a nation that was aware of God's leading and loving and providing and protection, it was Israel. But it had turned away from God, and God was about to allow the nation to be destroyed. Its destruction would not come about by a foreign army, but by a plague of locusts, if you were wondering at the beginning of our reading from Joel today. Before them the earth shakes, the sky trembles, the sun and moon are darkened, the stars no longer shine. And Joel describes this plague of locusts as a large army, large and mighty army, verse 2. And in verse 7, they charge like warriors, they seek scale walls like soldiers. Really is a terrific description of what is happening. And if this army continued, it would destroy the livelihood of this agriculturally based nation. It would not survive. And the question is, why would God allow this to happen? It is because he wants his people to return to him. He wants them to repent. Verse 12 is clear. A clear cry to the nation, to the people, to those who once trusted in God, to return to him. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. He is pleading with them to return to me with all your heart. You know, this is a plea of love, because God is a God of love. But this return, this repentance, was to be shown in fasting and weeping and with mourning. In verse 13 it says, rend your heart and not your garments. It was usual for people to, I'm not going to do it this morning, but if they really repented, they'd rip their clothes to show a sign of repentance. But God is not wanting an outward show. Not wanting an outward show, but an inward one. He wants to see a rending of their hearts. God wanted them to change their lives, to change their heart, to turn back to him who loved them. Because God is loving and forgiving. It's worth noting that Peter quotes Joel when he preached his first sermon on the day of Pentecost. We heard it read. The words of Joel allow Peter to speak about what has just taken place, how the Holy Spirit had been poured out on those gathered in the upper room in Jerusalem, and how there was a need for people to call on the name of the Lord, and that when they did, they would be saved from their sins and death. And Peter saw this as a fulfillment of prophecy. This prophecy of Joel's is powerful in its call for Israel to repent, but it's also full of encouragement that if they do, then they will experience the love and mercy of God and they will know his forgiveness. And it was this love and forgiveness that Peter wanted those to whom he preached to experience for themselves, something that Peter had experienced for himself after he had denied Jesus 3 times on the night of Jesus' arrest. And Peter saw that there was a need for repentance. There was a need to return to the Lord. There was a need to turn away from those things that had captured their hearts and their lives and caused them from having that loving relationship with God. Well, here we are this morning. Comfortable. Those in the front seat sit on the cushions. At peace. We're not expecting anyone to burst through those doors and to commence firing and killing us. We're not wanting for much, are we? And we're looking at a world that seems to be in a self-destruct mode. But can I say that no longer can we distance ourselves from what's happening? Now what's happening in other parts of the world is touching us. Do I say this to frighten people? No. Of course not. But it's true, isn't it? However, I do believe that unless we stand up and acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, unless we repent of our lukewarm relationship with the Lord, unless we repent of our failure to serve him as we should, then we should not expect things in Australia to get any better. The message of Joel to the people of Israel and the message of Peter to the crowd in Jerusalem is the same message that has been written for us. Repent and live a life that acknowledges that Jesus is Lord in our lives. Live a life that shows that we are not ashamed to be followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, because for too long those who call themselves Christians have been silent about their faith. And I believe that we can no longer afford to be silent anymore. We need to seize upon every opportunity that we have to share who Jesus is, what he has done, in order that there might be a change in our world. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart. How is your heart with God? How is your heart with God? Heavenly Father, we pray that you might speak to each one of us and encourage us in our walk with you. Help us to look again at our relationship with you. Help us to turn away from those things that would hinder our walk with you daily in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.